Good to see you tonight. I'm thankful for your presence. Appreciate that you're here. Let me make sure we're on. We are. Sorry. Appreciate that we have visitors. We're thankful for your presence among us. And although we have a number who are away, it's always good to be together with God's people and to worship Him. And hope that our study tonight will be useful to us. If you're here and not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. I want you to listen carefully to the things that were preached by the apostles in the book of Acts and learn from them so that you can respond tonight to become a Christian. That you can act in faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized into Jesus, and have your sins washed away, be added by Him to His church, and to live faithfully to Him from this day forward, so as to have eternal life by and by. It seems today that a lot of the preachers are, if you're looking for a preacher these days, you're looking for somebody who's going to entertain you. Someone who's dynamic. Someone who has rapt eloquence and is able to say everything that needs to be said in about 20 minutes. Well, I'm not your guy. I can't do it in 20 minutes. I guess I could, but you know, there's a lot more to be said. Well, preachers are viewed as entertainers a lot of times, or others have a more cynical view of preachers, that they're just shysters. And I always remember about Elmer Gantry and the type of... that's an old movie, but some of you know what that's about. And so all of that is said to lead us to our study tonight about preaching. And you say, well, why should we study about preaching? You're the preacher, you're going to preach, and that's great. But you know, Joe's not going to be around forever. And you're going to have to perhaps one day be in the position of either preaching yourself or helping to make a selection of a preacher somewhere, here or someplace else. And it is important for you to understand and know what I'll be preaching. More than that, preaching does not begin and end in a pulpit. The early Christians were scattered, and they preached the word. So Christians preach. We preach not just from a pulpit on a Sunday or a Wednesday or doing a gospel meeting a couple of times a year. If that's our idea of preaching, we need to redefine from God's word tonight as well and learn again and afresh and anew about preaching. But we want to look particularly at the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts. And in the text that Wes read for us, Peter himself said that in verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people. The apostles were under a commandment to preach. Did that mean to entertain? Did that mean to tell jokes? Did that mean to tell stories? What was it that they did? We are to pattern ourselves after them. As preachers, as listeners, as teachers, as those who will do preaching. Now, what is preaching? What does that word mean? Well, first of all, let's see that one of the words used to translate preach, use the word preach, is it means to herald. It means to announce, to proclaim, or to publish. For example, in Acts 8th chapter and verse 5, it says that Philip preached Christ to them. He announced Christ. He was a herald. He proclaimed. He published the news in Samaria about Jesus Christ. So he spoke to them, didn't he? He used words to announce the Lord. And that's one word that's used in the Greek language. But there's another one, euangelizo, which gets more specific about what is pronounced or what is proclaimed, and that is the good news. Euangelion is the Greek word for gospel. So, euangelizo means to preach the gospel, preach the good news, proclaim, to herald forth a particular message. Not a political message. You know, not an entertainment message, not a social action message, so to speak, but a good news about Jesus, about Christ. For example, in that same text in verse 4 of Acts 8, it says that those that scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Here's this word now. They were proclaiming good news concerning Jesus Christ. And all that had to do with. So, So that's the kind of preaching we're to be doing, whether it's from a pulpit or whether it's as we scatter about in our daily lives, we are to be proclaiming the specific message of good news, of a gospel that centers upon Jesus Christ and all that that entails. Now, I think it's interesting to look at the book of Acts and the broader epistles to see what the apostles did not preach as well as what they did preach. They did not preach themselves, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. You know, a preacher who's all about telling about himself, just not the kind of preacher I care to listen to much. That's just not, you know, stories about a man just doesn't cut it when we get to the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, the apostles, Paul said, we did not preach ourselves. We didn't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus. But again, they didn't preach to please men. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, he said, not pleasing men, but God. And again, in Galatians 1 and 10, he makes that point. So they didn't preach to satisfy people. You know, they didn't take a poll. They didn't say, well, what is it you want to hear? And then we'll be sure to tell it to you. Now, that's different than saying, what is it you want to study from God's Word, and we'll do that. No, that's something very different. Pleasing men is another way described in the Scriptures about scratching itching ears. Paul said we didn't do that. That's not the preaching of the apostles in the first century. Neither did they preach human wisdom. A whole source of material that we could go to preach human wisdom. I keep saying I'm going to preach a lesson on this one day called Facebook Wisdom. You know, Facebook Theology. Debbie keeps telling me, you need to preach that. You need to pull all that. You know, Facebook is full of things that, you know, and I suppose we have to include Pinterest on that too. You know, all these little sayings and all, human wisdom, they sound good, they make us feel good. Doesn't mean they're from God. Doesn't mean they're truth. Paul said we didn't preach the wisdom of man when we proclaimed to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not the source. That's not what they preach. Neither will it be the source that we will preach if we intend to do the kind of preaching the apostles did. They did not preach personal opinions either. They didn't stand in a pulpit or to a crowd or around a fire or wherever else they might find themselves and begin preaching their opinions and promoting their think-sos. Paul said, to the Jew I became a Jew that I might win the Jew, and to the Gentile the same way. He said, I was able to adapt myself in judgments and in opinions so as not to lose my audience. He never compromised truth. He always preached the gospel, but he was careful not to push an agenda of opinion that would alienate others. And I heard a preacher one time stand up. He's going to preach a sermon about personal work, and he said, about everything I'm going to say tonight is opinion, is my opinion. I thought, why am I here? What are you doing standing up and telling you, I'm going to tell you my opinion? That's not gospel preaching. And that's not what they did in the first century in the book of Acts. Here's what they did. They preached the gospel. Peter said we're commanded to preach to the people. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, Paul said God chose through the foolishness of the message preached to save those that believe. So there's a message that they were commanded to preach that would save the lost. It was a message of salvation. They preached a message that had been entrusted to them. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. See, it didn't originate with them. They didn't design it. They didn't manufacture it. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2, 4, we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Again, in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul described this as we now have this word in earthen vessels. Now, that's an important passage to look at here. 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. So Paul says we preach Christ. And then he says we have this treasure of truth, in earthen vessels. The earthen vessels were the apostles. They had been entrusted with it, and they proclaimed it. That's what. So they're preaching a message that God gave them. They had been commissioned by Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. They were obedient to that commission. They went and preached everywhere, Mark 16:26. No place was off limits. They preached the gospel that He had given them. Paul said he was under a moral obligation to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse 16, Paul said, "If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Woe means destruction. Paul said, "I will be destroyed if I do not preach the gospel." I have an obligation before God Almighty to preach the gospel. He, along with the apostles, had that obligation. And frankly, all of us have that same obligation. Every time we set out to teach the gospel to someone, to herald, to announce the good news of salvation that God has provided in His Son, we have an obligation to be sure and careful that we preach the gospel. Now, the apostles had been commissioned to do that very thing. They were under that moral obligation, but we hold that a similar obligation that we will answer to God if we preach something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's look at their preaching for a little while in the book of Acts. What they preached was described as the apostles' doctrine. Again, remember, not that it originated with them. They had been entrusted with the gospel, and so it could be said that it was their gospel, their doctrine. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he spoke of our gospel. Well, he meant the good news that they were preaching. Let's read that verse. He says, because we want to analyze that for a moment. He said, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Also, when we came to Thessalonica, we had a gospel. We had a message of good news. It was in word, and it was in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. Now, oh, by the way, Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Again, remembering it didn't originate with them, it was by the Holy Spirit. It had been revealed, it had been given to them by the Holy Spirit who came from heaven. 1 Peter 1:12. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. Okay, so when they begin preaching in Acts 2, they are entrusted by the Holy Spirit of God a message of salvation, a message that is the good news of redemption of sinners. He said it was in power. It was in a word, by the way, is a word. He said it was in power. Power from God, power from on high. There's the power of the gospel itself that saves the sinner. The power of the gospel to salvation, Romans 1:16. There were miracles that attended the proclamation of this gospel to confirm that it was in fact from God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:12, "The signs of an apostle were worked among you." The signs of an apostle. Now, there were others who worked miracles, not just the apostles, also by the Holy Spirit, but the signs of an apostle that were accomplished among you with all perseverance, he said, were in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The apostles particularly and specifically and exclusively were the ones who could impart miraculous spiritual gifts to others. I suggest that was a sign of an apostle. Not just that they worked miracles, but they were able to impart the ability to work miracles to others. Acts the 8th chapter explains that. So when they came preaching, a message that was called theirs, It was in fact theirs to the extent that God gave it to them and they proclaimed it. God was the originator. God empowered them to show that it was valid. He's the one who revealed it. He's the one who inspired the proclamation of it. He guided them into all truth. When they stood before governors and people of authority, the Holy Spirit gave them what to say and what to speak. Matthew 10, 19, and 20. He inspired their message. He gave them the very words. Now, if we're going to follow their pattern, then we're going to take what they taught and we're going to rely upon it because we know it's a God-approved message. How to be saved. How to function as a congregation. How to live as a husband, as a wife, as a child. How to be an elder. How to be a preacher. How to be a neighbor. You see. How to reach the lost. How to rebuke a sinner. How to address everything that deals with life and godliness. Because God has revealed that to us through the apostles' doctrine. That's what they preached. That's what we need to be preaching. He said we did this in much assurance. Back there in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. It was a credible message. It was a truthful message. It was a confirmed message. It was from God. And so they preached it with boldness, with conviction. Not doubt, not wondering, not hesitation. We are to do the same today. Unfortunately, sometimes preaching can just amount to giving people suggestions and possibilities. But that's not the preaching they did. They preached with boldness, with assurance, with confident conviction because they knew it came from God. They knew it was from the Spirit of God and not their own. And so as they proclaimed it and handed it down, so that we can believe it with the same assurance, we can follow it, so we can have fellowship with them. And their fellowship was with God. 1 John 1, verses 3 and 4. That was John's assurance of what he said about his teaching. So what lesson can we draw from this? Simply this. When we preach the apostles' doctrine, we preach heaven's message. And all others are counterfeit. When the apostles preached, they preached heaven's message. That's what we must preach. Because every other message is wrong. Every other message is counterfeit. Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you any other gospel than that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1 and verse 8. That's the lesson that we take. That's why we must demand apostolic preaching, because it is heaven's message and we rely upon it rather than on any message that comes from man. The apostles, when they preached repeatedly, the book of Acts says that they preached the word, and it's described in a variety of ways. We won't look at all of these, but I want to look at a few of them. In Acts 8, let's look at that for a minute. In Acts 8 and 25, passage says, so when they had testified, that is Peter and John, and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So when they preached the word of the Lord, they were preaching the gospel interchangeably. The word of the Lord is the gospel, the good news, you see, because it was revealed by the Lord. It was inspired by the Lord. It was confirmed by the power of the Lord. In Acts the 14th chapter, in verse 7 of Barnabas and Paul, here it says, they were preaching the gospel there. And then in verse 21, when they preached the gospel and made many disciples. So when they preached the gospel, disciples were made. Followers of Jesus was the result. Verse 25. When they had preached the word. So the gospel is the word and it makes disciples. And on and on. Same point is made. Chapter 15, chapter 16. Preaching the word of the Lord that belonged to Him, that made disciples, made followers of His. It's called the word of God. Acts 13, 5. It's impressive to me how often in the book of Acts Luke has something to say about the Word. about what they were doing. They were preaching a word. It was a word that was the word of the Lord. It was a word that was the word of God. Acts 13 and verse 5. When they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And then again in 17 and 13. In Berea, it says, the Jews from Thessalonica had learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea. And they came there and stirred up the crowds. Chapter 16 and verse 6. In Phrygian regions of Galatia, it says the Holy Spirit had forbidden them to preach the word in Asia. So to preach the word was to preach the word of God. Again, not the word of men, not the word of Paul, not the word of Barnabas, but the word of God. See, repeatedly that's said. So it is really curious, isn't it, when people today said Paul was just preaching his opinion. Well, that's just what Paul thought. No, repeatedly, whether it be Paul or the other apostles, they were not preaching themselves. They were preaching God. They were preaching the Word of God. What God had to say about things. In chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, preaching the Word was the same as preaching Christ. It's used interchangeably in that passage. They went about preaching the Word, and Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. Preach the Word is the same as preaching Christ. Again in chapter 11, the same point is made. Some were preaching the Lord Jesus in Antioch, and then the hand of the Lord was with them. I'm sorry, verse 19. Some were preaching the Word only to Jews, and then others came along to preach to the Gentiles, and it says they were preaching the Lord Jesus. So they preached the Word, they preached the Lord Jesus. It's the same. We can't preach Jesus without preaching the Bible, the Word. We try to preach Jesus, but say, oh, that Bible stuff, oh, that's just going to get us into a lot of trouble, a lot of confusion. We're just going to exalt Jesus, magnify Jesus, but never hear from His Word. We're not preaching Jesus. Preach the Word, you preach Jesus. Preach Christ. That's where we learn about Him. That's the kind of preaching the apostles did. They preached the gospel of the grace of God when they preached the Word. It's the Word of His grace, Acts 20, 32. So you want God's favor, you want God's approval, God's blessing, you have to come back to the Word. You have to come back to preaching, to heralding, proclaiming a message, to produce faith. You see, faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing a message. Hearing a gospel, a good news message. And that requires preaching. See, that Romans 10 and 17 that says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God is a context in which Paul's talking about preaching so that people can call upon the name of the Lord. We have to proclaim the right message so people can have the right faith, so people can be saved by the grace of God. Have the right faith and then be saved by God's grace. That's what the apostles were doing in the book of Acts. They were preaching the Word. A preacher who does not preach the Word is not preaching like the apostles preached. This is the lesson that we take. God communicates with us through His Word. We must hear it. We must put our faith in it. We must obey it. The apostle said, if anyone among you thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things that I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord. Paul wasn't preaching his opinions. He was preaching the commandments of the Lord. And that's the lesson that we take, is that we must listen to God's commandments, to the same Word. We must preach the same Word that preaches Christ, that preaches God's grace, that preaches God's Word, so that we can believe and we can obey it and have salvation in the Son. Well, the book of Acts says they preached Jesus. We've already read a couple of those passages. They preached Jesus. Now, what is said about that? Paul would later write, he says, we preach Christ and Him crucified. We determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 2 and verse 2. And so the book of Acts, remember, not only did Philip preached Christ to the Samaritans, he preached Jesus to the Ethiopian. And in Acts 17 and verse 18, when Paul was in Athens, he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. So they're proclaiming, they're announcing things about Jesus. What do they announce about Jesus? Well, they announce He's the Son of God. In Acts 9 and verse 20, they announced that He's deity. He's God with us. It's just not another man. This wasn't just some itinerant preacher that lived a good life, but then he got crossways with the Romans and they killed him, and the Jewish leaders, and they killed him. Oh, something much more. Immediately, Saul preached Christ in the synagogues, that He is the Son of God. Saul, right after his conversion to Damascus, he went to the synagogues, to the Jews. He said, this Jesus, He's the very Son of God. He's deity. That's what they were preaching about Jesus. He wasn't created less than Jehovah. He wasn't the first spirit child born to God. He wasn't just a moral leader like the Dalai Lama or the Buddha or something like that. He's the very Son of God. He's the Christ, the Anointed One. Acts 5 and verse 42. Here's what the text says that they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So they were preaching, they were proclaiming Jesus is the fulfillment of the Messiah that our Lord and God has promised us hundreds and hundreds of years ago, that God in fact made a promise to Abraham, our father, long ago, the Jews would say. Now, to those very Jews, He's saying Jesus is a fulfillment. That's what they're preaching. He's the Christ. God has anointed Him king and prophet and priest. They preached the authority of Jesus, the name of Jesus, when they preached Jesus. They didn't preach a weak, cowering weakling. They proclaimed the powerful Son of God who had power to heal the sick, raise the dead, and save the soul. In Acts 4 chapter, when they set this man who lived was over 40 years old that Peter and John had healed in the name of Jesus Christ, by the way, Acts 3 and verse 6. Peter then now explains the next day to the Sanhedrin Council. He says, they ask him, by what power or what name have you done this? Well, he said, if you're asking how this man's healed, by what means that's come about, then you need to know that it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. By Him this man stands here before you whole. It's by His power. They preached the power of a resurrected Christ. And they said, in none other is there salvation, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. Not only did He heal this lame man, He'll save your soul. He has that much power because He's the Son of God. He's God's Christ. He's the Messiah. Acts 8:12, Philip in Samaria was preaching the name of Jesus Christ, His power and authority. The apostles preached Him as the source of their authority. Acts 9 and 27, Barnabas took Saul and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he'd seen the Lord on the road and had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Saul had preached in the name of Jesus. Saul, when he preached, he didn't preach on his own power, but in the power of Jesus, because He's the Son of God, you see. They preached about His power to remove sin, Acts 10:43. As Peter said to Cornelius, to him all the prophets witness that through His name, through His power, through who He is, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins. So they preached Jesus. They didn't preach a Jesus that accepts you however you want to come to Him, whatever path you want to take, whatever choice you want to make, whatever person you want to be, just come to Jesus and He'll accept. He's all accepting. He's all approving. No, He's not. He said, there's a narrow gate and a straightened way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. He's the good shepherd that leads the sheep into His fold. And He's the door, by the way. There's only one door. Not many doors, many ways. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the Jesus the apostles preached. This is the Jesus we must preach. He's the Jesus who is Lord, who is Master, and who is Judge. In Acts 11:20, it says they were preaching the Lord Jesus, the Master, the Ruler. And by the way, in Acts 10:42, Peter told Cornelius, he commanded us to preach to the people to testify that it is He who has who was ordained by God to judge, be the judge of the living and the dead. He's the one God ordained to be judge of the living and the dead. So they preach Jesus as the Master, as the ruler, and as the judge. But now if He's going to judge the living and the dead, that implies He has power over death. He's going to raise the dead. How's He going to judge the dead if the dead are dead and gone? He has power over death. That's why Paul was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. His power goes to the grave, beyond the grave. He's going to raise the dead. He can save your soul from spiritual death. He's going to raise all the dead, and He's going to judge us all. That's the Jesus they preached. Now, here's our lesson. We need to know this Jesus. We need to honor the Jesus they preached. We need to know He's our Lord. He's our Master. This is the Jesus that we need to fall before. The Jesus they preached. Not the Jesus that men have devised. Not the Jesus of denominational preaching that ignores vital and important aspects of His truth, His plan of salvation, His church, His will for our lives, and the inheritance He gives us. No, the Jesus of the Bible. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, and do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." We need to know this Lord Christ because we serve this Lord Christ. He will judge us, and we want to be approved by Him. Let's give Him the honor He's due. That's why they preach Jesus, to save the lost, and to teach us how to serve Him day by day. The apostles preach the forgiveness of sins also. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop right there. We're going to stop right there. We're going to pick this up and finish it next Sunday night, probably. There's several other things that they preached, and we're going to take our time to look at it more in depth than what we have tonight. The point we want to impress as we close this evening is the preaching in the book of Acts. That if it's been a while, go back and read through Acts and read it with an eye toward the preaching that was being done, a message that was being spoken, the word that was being proclaimed and heard, listened to, believed, and obeyed. And time again, you become impressed with the fact that God has chosen to communicate with us in a very precise way, in a very clear way, in a very definite way, so that we can believe in Him, that we can have faith unto the saving of our souls, that we can trust that Jesus is the Son of God, that we can repent of our sins against Him, we can confess He is Lord, that He has power over sin, that He is the Lord in Christ, that we can repent and be baptized into Him for the remission of sins. Preaching that they did is the preaching that we intend to do. Whenever we open the book, whenever we ask someone to listen, we intend to proclaim that same message and to call sinners to repentance and salvation like they did. If you need to be saved tonight, we urge you tonight to make that decision. Put your faith in Jesus, to hear the preaching of His gospel. He has power to save you. If you'll yield with a humble, faithful heart of obedience, repent and be baptized, and He'll save you today. He'll add you today to His church. Or if there's sin today as a Christian that you need to repent of before God, do that. Confess that in prayer, 1 John 1:9. We can pray with you, we will. God will hear our prayers as His children when we turn to Him in faith. As we repent of sin and confess it to Him, He will forgive. If we can help you do that, respond to God's call, won't you come while we stand and we sing?